This 23rd Psalm, a beautiful Psalm. Father, we love you and we thank you that you are a shepherd. And we thank you that when we go through all those things that that chapter talks about, that you're with us, that you help us. God, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the move of your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you are God and you're our Father, and that we can trust you through anything we're going through. I know there's some in here tonight that's going through some stuff that they're struggling with. They don't know what to do. But God, you can give them the answer. You can help them, Lord. God, I pray that they put all their trust in you and do the right things and what you'd have them to do. And God, you would bless, Lord. You would, as the enemy comes in like a flood, the word says that you raise up a standard. And so, God, I thank you for raising up a standard. Pray that you continue to move through your word tonight, Lord. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you guys. I had something happen tonight. I don't know if somebody set me up or what, but somebody put a stink bug in this napkin that was there, or it got in there, and that's what you got off of my back. And that thing went up in my nose. You talking about stinking? Oh, they all smell like that? See there? Help me, Jesus. Yeah, y'all, somebody needs to do something with that. Throw some anointing oil on it or something. But I'm going to still preach, amen. That thing stunk. I wiped my nose. I was crying. I was like, good gracious. Then Sam come up and slapped something on my back. I'm like, not seeing a stink bug. I'm like, golly, stinking devil. I want you to, if you would, turn back to Luke chapter 10. I kind of went through that real quick last week, and I want to hit it real fast. I'm going to go through it real quick one more time, but I think it's very important to see the difference between the 12 disciples in chapter 9 and what happened with the 70. You remember the 12 disciples went out, and you know, the Lord gave them authority to heal the sick, to cast out devils and all these things, to preach the gospel. But when they come back, they preached the gospel and they healed the sick, but they couldn't cast out the devil. And the man brought his little son, and, you know, the Lord kind of rebuked him for not having any faith. So here he's sending out these 70 that's been following him. And it says, after these things, in verse 1, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and every place whithersoever he went. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great. It is today. It's probably as great today as it's ever been. But the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. And that's the prayer we need to be praying, that God would raise up young people, old people, don't matter, to preach the gospel, to be missionaries and do all these things, that God would call them into the ministry, to go out into the harvest field. Verse 3, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Now, when they heard that saying right there, what would you think? I send you out as lambs before wolves. That don't sound too good, but that's what it was. But in verse 17, let's look at this. And the 70 returned again with joy. They were happy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And the Lord said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. In other words, guys, pride. I talked to you about this last week. And I wrote this quote up here, and this is a pretty good quote. Who we are must always take precedent over what we do. Who we are as a Christian, as a person, must always take precedent over what we do. Because if what we do looks better than who we are, then we doing it for show and not him. Okay? And it says here, and he said unto him, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding. And this... Don't rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit, and he said, I thank you, Father, Lord in heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto, I can't hardly read, babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. So in other words, Jesus was happy, was proud that these disciples went out, these 70 went out and ministered. Now I want you to go to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at some authority that he's given us. We just saw that he said he gave them authority, right? And so if you go to Matthew chapter 28, We all know these verses. I've preached on them so many times, I don't even have a place hardly to write anymore in my Bible. But I want you to look at this in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, we're talking about the bondage breakers. We're talking about Christians being in bondage. Christians in this church being in bondage, having stuff in their life they know they ain't supposed to have in their life, and they need to get rid of it. Well, the only way you can get rid of it is, first of all, is know who your daddy is. Who's your daddy? And also to know the power and authority that he's given you because of who he is, and we'll talk about that in a little while. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And this is the promise, guys. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. He said, I'm still going to be with you. Even though I'm not going to be with you in body form, I'm still going to be with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So all these things that we're talking about in the bondage breaker, all these things that we're dealing with and trying to go through and you know, get people free, we need to see that we have the power and authority to see people free. Amen? Now I want you to go to Romans chapter 13. We're going to skip around a little bit tonight. We're going to see how good you thumb through your Bible. If you have to go to concordance, don't worry about it. I used to have to do it a long time ago. Chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul... Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't like these five verses. Why y'all look at me like that? Y'all ever read anything in the Bible you just didn't really like? You try to listen to it, but you really don't like? Hey, you bunch of religious people in here, what in the world? I'm glad you said that, Sam. Thank you. But it's not that we don't agree with it, but we just don't like it. And you'll see once I start reading it. And some of y'all don't like it either, because I know you. And some that ain't here don't like it either. But look at what it says in chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Ooh-wee. For rulers, listen, are not a terror to good works or to good people, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Or why would you be afraid of the power? Do what is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. In other words, he said, if you do what is right, if you do what is good, you ain't got to worry about the authorities coming to get you. Golly, I get so frustrated. It's not happened in a while, but I used to get so frustrated back when everybody was running from the cops, and they get shot, or somebody get hurt, or they do something stupid. I'm thinking, just don't run, stupid. Just don't run. Stay in the car. I don't care what they do, what they say. Just stay in the car. Wait till somebody else comes. Don't run. If you run, you're guilty. I am going to preach it. I'm going to get hate mail. I don't care. It's the truth. Just don't run. You think I'd run from the dang cops? Well, first, I'm too fat and old to run. But why am I going to run? People just ain't got no sense, and you run, you see what happens. I ain't justifying nobody. I ain't saying to everybody that, I'm just telling you, don't run. If you don't do nothing wrong, you ain't got to worry about them coming after you. Amen. Bad boys, what you going to do? What you going to do when they come for you? I ain't got to be worried about that, because I ain't going to do nothing to have them to come after me. Amen? And then it goes on and says this in verse 4. For he is the minister, listen, of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, you should be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath unto him that doeth evil. Ooh-wee. Then he goes on and says this, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath or from wrath, but also for conscience sake. In other words, if you just do what's right, Now, the reason I don't like that scripture is because people will throw up in your face, well, you need to do everything the government said. If they say abortion is good, if they say this is good or that, no, I'm not doing that because the Bible, we can't go against what the Word says. So there's a fine line there. But I'm just saying this is a hard scripture to look at the way our government is run today. Amen? Okay. And so she's not mad at me. So let's look here. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. But I want to talk to you one while you flip into Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to go over two. But I want to talk to you about this. Police officers have civil law, a civil right to stop you. If you're going through a stop sign, stop light, you're driving down the road, you're doing 48 and a 45 or whatever, if you're doing 35 and a 65, if they want to stop you, they have the civil right to stop you. But if a terrorist is coming down the road in a big old tank, and he's coming to kill people, that civil right ain't going to do him no good. He can turn on the blue lights all he wants. What's the terrorist going to do? He's going to run over his dang cop car. So what does he have to do? He has the authority, civil right, but then he also has the power to pull out his gun or get his AR out of his car and shoot the guy. He has power and authority. Y'all hold on for a minute. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So we have power. You say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? We have authority and we have power. But the truth is, we're walking around as a church. Most churches, most people, most Christians walk around and they don't exhort or use their power or authority. We have the civil. We have been given power and authority has been given to us by God to take care of the enemy, to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. We have, y'all looking at me like I'm talking in tongues. Y'all, we have been given that authority. And y'all have heard that a million times in this place. But it's got to come to the point to where we start walking it out. We have been given the power and authority. There's this story in the book, and it talks about this family of four was riding down the road, right? They're going down the road. You got mom in the passenger seat, dad's driving, and you got two kids in the back. Well, this bee flies in the window, and that bee's buzzing around, you know, and everybody's doing like Glenn would be doing. I just sit still, don't I? I just sit still. If you sit still, they won't bother you. If you start moving around and all that stuff, then they're going to get you. And everybody's jerking around. So finally, the dad grabs the bee, and he lets it sting him. And he lets it fly off, and the stinger's still in his hand. And so he shows the kids the stinger. And he says, the bee can't bother you anymore. Some of y'all going to get this right here. When Jesus died on a cross and rose again, he took the stinger out of the devil. Now, y'all follow me. Once that bee stings you, and that stinger's out, he can't sting you anymore. Y'all need to hear this, because I want to really push this home. When that bee stings one time and that stinger's out, he can't sting anymore. Now, it can still pulse and it can still shoot stuff up in you or whatever it is, that little poison or whatever they put in you, but he can't sting you anymore. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took Satan's stinger. And so the only thing he does is he buzzes around acting like he can do something to you when he really can't. You know, there's a lot of y'all in here. I'm being honest. Y'all are Christians. You love the Lord, but you still are not getting that right there. You still get afraid of the devil. You do. You get upset and old fretting and all worry and all this stuff. Why? I'm not saying I don't ever get upset. I'm not saying things don't ever bother me. But why in the world do we not know that we have the power and authority to put him in his place? He has no authority. Now, that is if you're walking according to God's word. Amen? Because if you're not walking according to God's word, then you are going to be in a mess. And let me show you. Go to Acts chapter 19. This is what happens when you think you know God and that you can act on Jesus' behalf. And the truth is, you don't. And you're not walking according to his word. You're just doing what somebody else has said to do. I know there ain't nobody up in here ever had a problem with that, but it's just the truth. Amen. I want you to go to Acts chapter 19. I want you to look at verse 13. Y'all have heard this too. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, these guys are exorcists, it says, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Y'all hear what I just said? We adjure you by Jesus who Paul preaches. Well, a big hairy deal. That's what the devil thinks sometimes when people don't know their power and authority. And they say, devil, I bind you. And you walking in fear and everything else, you got all kind of mess in your life. You can bind all you want. They used to call it buking and binding, buking and binding. You can buke and bind all you want. But if you ain't walking right and you ain't got the power of God in your life, you just spitting out words. Hallelujah. And it says here, it says, let me find it. Verse 13. It says, verse 14, and there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests. He was a chief priest. And it says, which did so. These seven sons of this chief priest did this. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? In other words, you big dummy. You're going to try to cast me out, and you don't have no power and authority to do it. He didn't have the authority to do it, and he didn't have the power to do it. Why? Because he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't walking under Jesus' blood. He wasn't walking under Jesus' power and authority. He was trying to do it on his own, which brings me to my next point. If we try to do things in ourselves, we will never do anything right. We might can accomplish some things. You look at the world. There's some people, there's some rich people that live like the devil that accomplish a lot of great things. But what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So just because you might have a little bit of blessing going on don't mean that you're walking in the blessing and favor of God. You're just walking in the blessing and favor of hard work. Well, are y'all good? So it goes on and it says, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. What? I bet they learned a lot. I bet didn't nobody else go around saying, hey, I rebuke you and that Jesus that Paul knows anymore. Amen. See, truth is our flesh, there's nothing good in our flesh. There's nothing good in our flesh. And if you count on your flesh, you're in trouble. Go to 1 Samuel 17:26. I'm going to show you something. You know that David was a man after God's own heart. David loved the Lord. David failed miserably many times. But David loved the Lord. And I want to read verse 26 because I want you to look at this. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26. It said, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? You remember Goliath was coming out for 40 days. He didn't come out and punk them down, yell at them, screed at them, challenged them, and nobody would go forth. He said, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? Listen, that taketh away the reproach from Israel. This guy's reproaching Israel. What's going to be done to the man that goes and kills him? He said, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He's about to cuss right there. He's like, who is this dude? Who does he think he is? And that's the way some of y'all need to get with the devil. Y'all need to tell him who he is. Put him in his place. He's an uncircumcised piece of, you know, that got kicked out of heaven. He has no power, no authority. He don't have a stinger anymore. He can't do nothing but go around. That's why the Bible says he goes around as a roaring lion. As a roaring lion, seeking whom may devour. He ain't got no dang teeth. He said, what should be done to this uncircumcised Philistine? That he should defy the armies of the living God. Now, let me show you something. The army, those men, his brothers and everybody else that was out there, they were looking at David. They were looking at Goliath in relation to themselves in the flesh. Y'all listen to me. They were looking at Goliath being 9 foot, 10 foot, whatever he was, great big old thing. They were looking at him in relation to them. But David was looking at Goliath in relation to God. Nope, y'all, you got to get this. When you're fighting a devil, you're not fighting him in relation to you. You're fighting in relation to the authority that your daddy gave you. You hear what I'm saying? See, if you got a supervisor that's over, say you got a supervisor that's over a plant, right? And this supervisor has to go away for a week. And he takes one of his associates, he says, look, Glenna, I'm going to put you in charge, but don't do anything. Don't tell anybody to do anything, no matter what they do. Don't get in no trouble. You know, he's not giving her any authority whatsoever. So what's going to happen that week? You know what's going to happen that week. People's going to play around. They're going to mess around. They're going to joke around. They're going to cut her because she don't have authority, and they're going to laugh at her. She goes and says, y'all probably should go to work. But if that supervisor leaves and says, Glenn, I'm giving you all power and authority, if somebody don't do what they're supposed to do, fire them. Well, guess what'll happen? The first one that wants to act out, and Glenna goes over and says, look, you can't do that. If you do that again, you're gone. Then the word's going to get around that plant, and everybody's going to keep their mouth shut, especially when she's around. What kind of supervisor would we have? What kind of supervisor would Jesus be if he didn't give us any power and authority when he left? Y'all gonna get that. What kind of supervisor would he be if he didn't give us power and authority? If he says, okay, guys, I'm going to go to heaven, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back for you, but while I'm gone, you're just going to have to make it on your own. You got to kick it on your own. Don't mess with the devil. Stay away from. You know that Shelly told me the other week, there's a group of people in churches now, supposedly spirit-filled churches, that are telling you not to talk about the devil. Just if the devil starts something or you start having problems, just stay away from it. I'm like, what in the world? These people, they crazy. Church people. Telling their church people, if the devil comes after you and attacks you, just stay away from him. Yeah, you run this way and he's going to keep coming until you run in a corner over here and he's done took everything you got. God didn't ever say he was raising up runners. He raising up warriors. Amen. And David was a warrior, and David knew who his God was and what God could do. And that's what we got to get. We got to get to the place to where we know who God is and we know what he'll do. Go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. I'm going to hurry. Hallelujah. I can't wait to go back and listen to this. He says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. He said, we have no confidence in the flesh. The reason a lot of people are in bondage is because they're trying to stop doing what they ain't supposed to be doing in the flesh. Y'all hear me? Pray. Seek the face of God. Lay it down at his feet. Say, please, God, I need your help. Take this from me. Deliver this. Deliver me from this, and he will help you. If you try to do it yourself, it ain't going to work. It just don't work that way. You see, it's kind of like a tug of war. You got these people on this side pulling and these people on this side pulling. And sometimes it's like that's the way the world sees the battle between God and Satan. We think, well, sometimes it looks like God's winning. Sometimes it looks like the devil's winning. Sometimes it looks like God's winning. Sometimes it looks like the devil's winning. No. God's always winning. There ain't no tug of war in this battle. Ain't no rope. There ain't no rope. Jesus won. He wins. He's already won, and we win because he won, and there ain't no tugging going on. There's a lot of smoke going on. There's a lot of deception going on. And that's where he gets people, is he deceives them into believing that they who they are, who God says they are. You got to know who God says you are. Don't matter who I say you are. I can call you a woman of God, a man of God. I can call you whatever, you know, because that's what I think about you. But God knows what you really are, and you need to know what you are and who you are. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to share three things with you right quick. It's three times in my life that I've experienced demon-possessed people. Three times that I know of. I'm sure. I'm sure I've been around them. I know I was around one at the prison several times, but I'm talking about where actually God delivered them from demons. The first one was a guy named Jeff Dowdy. I've told this story to some of you, but I had somebody tell me the other day, if you've had these things happen, won't you tell them? Well, I have told them. I've been here 17 years. Some of you have been here a long time. You're probably getting tired of hearing the same old stories. I didn't hear amen. Hallelujah. No, but for real, Jeff Dowdy, the night that me and Glenna was getting ready to eat, and I'm going to hurry, Shelly called, and she said, we need you to come up to the prayer house. We had a 24-hour prayer house up there. Them people would pray for you, them women would pray for you. They didn't care. And I said, what's going on? She said, we got a guy that's coming in that's demon-possessed. I'd never dealt with that before. I dealt with people I thought was demon-possessed, but I'd never dealt with that before. And I'm like, what do you need me there for? We need your help. And so I looked at Glenna, did I not? I said, Glenna, you pray for me, because if this dude tries to hit me, then I'm going to do what I got to do. That's all I knew. I hadn't been taught this yet. I just knew I was going to protect myself and protect them two old women who's up there with me. That's just the truth. They was older women. They was in their 70s, wasn't they? And they were old. They weren't going to help me fight him. So when we get up there, when he comes through, he looked like Death Eating Lifesaver. That's the first thing he come to me. He was just messed up. And they took him in there, and I asked him, I said, we're not going to wait till Pastor Bill and Shelly gets here. They said, no, we're going to go ahead and start praying for him. Well, that was good for them, because as soon as they started praying for him, he started manifesting him. I just had to jump on him, because he was all over the place. I held him down, and by the time we was over, eight demons come out. It took a long time. It wasn't 5 minutes. Eight demons come out of this guy, and he had skint marks all over him. Well, I was trying to hold him down, make sure he didn't kill somebody. Now, in this book, you learn that's not what you're supposed to do. But I'll be honest with you, if it happened again and I had to do it, I'd do what I got to do. Amen. You just do what you got to do. We're helping somebody. We're holding them and helping them at the same time. And Jeff got delivered, and I went to Africa with him, and there's a whole long story there. I reconnected with him a couple months ago, and he's in a ministry up in Florida. But the second time, me and Chris had went into a jail cell in Trenton, Tennessee. And it was one of them Poduck jails I talk about. But we'd went in there, and it was the very first time we went, and we'd seen this contraption outside and everything. It's in my book if you read the book. But we'd seen this contraption outside, and I go in, and I tell the guy, he said, where do you want to go? I said, I want to go see the craziest person you got in here. He said, okay, I got one. So he sent Chris and Eddie to another side of the jail, and he took me down here to lockdown, and I looked in, and there was this guy sitting in there, and he's sitting on a concrete pad. He had nothing in there with him. And the guy, his name was Chris, too. He opened the door, let me go in. And, man, that dude, it stunk in there. He took his feces and put it all over the wall and everything. I mean, they said this guy was psycho. And so I talked to him for a minute. He said, can you marry us? And I was the only one in there. He's talking about, I said, who? He said, me and my girlfriend, can you marry us? I said, dude, hold on for a minute. So I knocked on the door, walked out, and the guy was smiling. He thought I was scared and going to leave. I said, we got two choices, bro. We can either, you can let me go get my buddies, and we'll come back and cast the devil out of him, or he's going to stay bound up like he is for a long time. He said, you do whatever you want to do. He should have never said that, but he did. He should have never said that. So go get Chris and them, long story, bring them back, and we go in and we pray over this guy, and God sets him free. The next week we come back, that guy, Chris, the jailer, was waiting at the door, and when we're walking out, I looked at Chris and Eddie, I said, golly, we've been one time, they ain't going to let us come back in. Stupid. So we walk in, and I said, hey, how you doing? He said, I need to talk to you for a minute. I said, yes, sir, what's up? He said, you remember the guy that you prayed for last week and all that stuff? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, what I didn't tell you is he was the one that was in that contraption out there you was talking about. He said, we had to lock him down. We put him outside so he could bake in the sun to try to calm him down a little bit. He said he'd wiped stuff all over the walls and feces all over the walls and stuff. He said the head psychiatrist from Nashville, Tennessee, who's done this 26 years, said he had never, ever met anybody like this guy before, as bad as this guy before. And he said, you want me to tell you where he's at? And I thought, oh, my Lord, where's he at? He said, he's out in general population. Called his parents, called his dad, said, I give my life to the Lord. Called his girlfriend, said, I give my life to the Lord. I don't know where he's at today. One day I hope to see him in heaven. But that's the second one. Praise God. The third one, right quick. The third one, we was up in another jail. We was up in Macklemoresville. And one time Chris would do the music and I'd preach. And then one time I'd do the music and he'd preach. And this particular time he was doing the music playing at Charles Johnson and the Revivalers or whatever. Y'all remember any of that? Anybody in here? Nobody? Patsy, you do? Me and Patsy's the only ones? Anyway, they was a killer group, but he played their songs all the time. And so he's playing their songs, and all of a sudden this guy gets up, and, man, he's dancing. I mean, he's dancing like Susie and them do up here. I mean, he's worshiping and everything, just dancing around. Well, Chris thought he was worshiping. I knew in my spirit something was wrong with him. And Chris looked at me and said, I bet he's Church of God. That's what he said. I said, no, I bet he's demon-possessed. He said, what? I said, just be quiet, play your music. So we got through playing the music, and I go up, and I start to preach, and the guy said, oh, we ain't going to preach tonight. We got to turn the air back on. And I said, I'm going to preach tonight. I said, you can go over and sit down. And he went back in the corner of the room and sat in a fetal position the whole time I preached. And when I finished preaching, I looked at everybody and said, now listen, this ain't no joke. This ain't no game. I want y'all to sit here. If you're a Christian, I want you to pray. If you're not, keep your mouth shut, because this ain't no joke. And I looked at Chris and I said, let's go over here. This guy's demon-possessed. And I said, we're going to go over there. And we went over there and I started talking to him. And when I reached out to touch him, he screamed out like crazy. He started talking about his father. Evidently, his father had abused him. I don't know what all had happened. But anyway, this guy starts screaming out. We pray over him and God sets him free. They come in later. About six months later, I'm at one of my accounts in Jackson, Tennessee, working a lance machine. And you know how you feel somebody like looking at you, somebody's looking at you and stuff? I turn around, I look, and I seen this guy, and he said, how you doing? I said, I'm fine. He said, you don't remember me, do you? I said, no, I don't know you. Am I supposed to know you? He said, yeah, you met me over in the jail in Macklemoresville. He said, I'm the one that you come and prayed over. He said, I had been in all kind of mess. He said, my mom wouldn't even let me come home. He said, I wasn't supposed to be in the jail, but they knew my mom, and they let her keep me in the jail. He said, but y'all pray for me. He said, I've been clean ever since. Wow. So that's God. Now, am I lining up to do that all the time? No. But if that's what it takes, then that's what we'll do. But I'll tell you what's the toughest spirit that I've ever dealt with. Y'all listen to me. It's a religious spirit. Somebody in church, they ain't demon-possessed. They just have Jezebel and life and everything else you want to say all over them. And they cause more problems and more harm than any demon-possessed person I ever met. So you better be very careful with the people that you hang around with, the people that you let pour into your life, because they come in as angels unaware. Amen? And we got to be very careful. We got to guard the church, guard yourself, and pray. But these people that need to be delivered, God has given us the power and authority to do that. Because listen, you're not doing it in your strength. You're not even doing it in your spiritual, in your scriptural knowledge. You don't have to know 13 scriptures to cast out a devil. You just love Jesus and you want to see people free, and you just say you're his child. You say in the name of Jesus Christ, you're God's child. You say in the name of Jesus Christ, you come out. And it has to come out. That's the word. Y'all good? Y'all looking at me real funny. I'm telling you, we're living in the last days, and the only thing I believe is going to get people's attention is the real. This fake garbage going around, it ain't getting nobody's attention. The only thing it's doing is drawing a crowd in, and they coming in lost, and they leaving lost. That ain't what we want to do here. We want to teach people how to walk in the power and authority that God has given us so that we can be the men and women of God that He has called us to be. Amen? Y'all stand with me. I love you. I hope you know that. I want you to go back and study these scriptures and make sure I'm telling you the truth. If you find that I'm not telling you the truth, go to JC because I don't want to hear it. No, I'm kidding. You come talk to me for real. I mean, I want us to walk in the power and authority that God has given us. Amen? Father, we love you. We thank you for your blessings, your mercy, and your grace. And I just pray, Lord, that you move by your Spirit, continue to move in our lives, continue to help us to be who you've called us to be. God, I'm just right now, Greg Wisnett comes to my mind. I pray for him, Lord, Laura's husband. I pray that you'd touch him, touch his body right where he's at. I pray, God, that you would show him how valuable he is to you and how much you love him. I pray that you'd wrap your arms around him. I know he's been hurt. He's been hurt in church. And God, I just pray that you'd touch him and minister to his heart, both spiritually and physically, Lord, and whatever else he's got going on. Touch Laura. I know she's very tired. She's wore out. I pray that you'd touch her, Lord, and minister to her. And Lord, these shoe boxes here behind me, I thank you for those that work so hard to do this, for Cynthia and others, Lord. I give you praise for that, and we bless them. I know they're going to pray over them Sunday, Lord, but I want to bless them. And, Lord, I'm asking you that every single child that gets one of these shoe boxes, not only will they be happy that they got a gift, but I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would touch their life, save their soul, change their life. May the anointing of God, the anointing of these boxes, the anointing of the prayers that's went into all these gifts that's been bought and purchased with money that has been, people have worked hard for, God, that you would touch these children and minister to these children so that they would have hope, Lord, and they would be grateful that a God loved them enough to lay it on people's hearts, Samaritan's Purse and others, to send these shoe boxes. But I give you praise for it. Lord, take this word tonight. This is a strong word. I pray that you take this word and help us to mull it over, to think about it, to meditate on it, to study it, and to see that you have given us power and authority, not for us, not so we could be prideful, but for you. All praise and glory goes to you because nothing, even those three situations I talked about, would have never happened if it would have been for your power and your authority. So I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Love you guys.